Welcome to Work From Your Happy Place, the podcast that equips you with the tools, know-how, and motivation to live your dreams and find your happy place. Be sure to sign up for our free weekly newsletter for a recap of the week's guests and a preview of what's in store. To sign up, simply text the word happy place with no space to 33444. Now, it's my pleasure to introduce the host of Work From Your Happy Place, Belinda Ellsworth.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Work From Your Happy Place. It's Belinda Ellsworth, and I'm really excited about our guest today. I have Robin Waite. And Robin is a husband and a father to two young girls with a passion to help business owners set fearless goals and achieve great success. Robin is a business coach, regular speaker at various business events, and best-selling author of two books, including the recent popular release, Take Your Shot. He puts his decade of business leadership experience to work, coaching clients to reach their goals. It's my pleasure to welcome Robin to our show today.
It's an absolute pleasure to be here, Belinda. Thanks for having me.
Oh, great. Well, let's just jump right into it. I'm so excited. Fill us a little bit in on the gaps from this bio and tell us a little bit more about yourself and the journey.
Yeah, of course. So I actually started out life. I go from kind of post-school, but I'm a geek at heart. That's kind of where I come from, my background. But I started out life as a systems analyst at 18 and helped to grow my first business from £850,000 to £1.5 million. And as a naive 22-year-old, ultimately ended up running that business. It was a medical devices company, basically. And I was building systems, very nerdy stuff, like doing process layouts and getting the business to run more efficiently. And ultimately, five people ended up being made redundant because of the systems which I built, which isn't a fantastic accolade, but I didn't realize that's kind of what I was doing at that particular point in time. And actually, what I wanted to do was start employing people. So I set up my own creative agency in 2004, ran that for 12 years, worked with in the region about 250 businesses. We grew it to £250,000 turnover, so about $350,000, and had four members of staff. And I've recently sold it. And the turning point for me, so what I do now is actually I'm a business coach, and the turning point for me and sort of how I ended up in that place, so we're talking about two and a half years ago now, my second daughter Sophie was about to be born, and I realized I was kind of heading into a second set of paternity leave with this business that was doing pretty well on the face of it, you know, but I didn't want to manage members of staff. Some of the clients were just being a bit of a nuisance, and everything involved me. And I wanted to get to a point where I had a business. If it involved me, it was all me. If it didn't, if I was going to run a better business, it wouldn't involve me. And my choice basically at that point was, well, do I carry on with this or do I look for something new that's going to ultimately put me in my happy place, basically, and something that I would find more fulfilling. So I actually basically went full circle again, fired my team and closed that agency down. I've since actually sold it now, and did some work with my life coach, and we focused my efforts on essentially, rather than building websites for people, which is what we did in the agency, actually building businesses, because he spotted a couple of things that I did really, really well around products and pricing and goal setting with my clients and things like that. So I coach clients now on a one-to-one basis and absolutely love it. It's one of the best decisions I ever made.
Oh, that's fantastic. So then tell us a little bit about how your new business has shaped your lifestyle.
So essentially what it does, it gives me a bit more flexibility and freedom to kind of spend time with the family as and when I want to. So I do work very hard, but everything's much more under my terms, and I'm able to sort of chip in and do nursery runs and things like that. And equally, my wife's son, she's got quite a high pressure job. So she's actually a lawyer and works about an hour's drive away from where we live. So being able to kind of step in when she has to do important meetings and stuff like that is actually a really important part of our lifestyle at the moment. And eventually we want to, my coaching business is kind of on a trajectory to get to a point whereby we can start to make fun choices, like, does my wife actually have to work anymore or she wants to? Because I'd say that I'm much more career oriented. She has a great job, but I wouldn't say she would want to do it for the next 10 or 20 years. So really for me, it's all about giving us a bit more freedom and a few more choices that otherwise, if we were both in full-time jobs, we wouldn't necessarily get to do.
Absolutely. I had a question in there that I was going to ask you, and then it'll come to me. So we'll come back to that.
I tell you what, I'll fill in the blank then. Ask me about surfing and cycling.
Okay, do you enjoy surfing and cycling?
Yes, I do. I love it. So I'm a weekend warrior, so I get out on my bike every weekend. And again, that side of like sports and fitness and health is also really important to me. Probably don't do quite enough of the surfing just yet, but the surfing, again, you know, being able to just drop everything on a Friday and go away for a long weekend is something which I've done, but I want to do more of it as well. I've actually had a near-death experience when I was out surfing. I was surfing in Morocco and came off a 15-foot wave.
Oh my.
And I was under the water for, so normally I have a rule basically for surfing: don't surf anything that's bigger than you, so 6 foot. And this particular time I didn't listen to it. I'd been on a week-long surfing course and jumped on this 15-foot wave, and I was under for about 40-50 seconds with four or five massive waves crashing over me. And I don't know if you can picture this. Hopefully this will it's giving you an opportunity to remember what it was you were going to ask me.
I remembered.
Excellent. But picture this. So imagine coming off a 15-foot wave. It's like falling off a three-story building, and or even four-story building, and your heel hitting the back of your head as the surfboard gets taken over. And actually, if you try and do that, it's virtually impossible. So literally, my mates were about to go and call for help, and they saw me just dragging my limp body out of it. Do you know what? It was actually one of the best experiences I ever had in my life. Wouldn't recommend it, but it was again a complete life changer, and that happened just before I met my wife, actually.
Wow.
So that was quite a turning point. That was kind of the point where I started to realize that there wasn't something quite right about my agency, but it took me a long time to work it out.
Yeah, I've been to Morocco, and when I was there, I didn't go surfing, but we were on the ferry, and the waves were so huge that they were coming up over the top of the boat and soaking the entire boat, and everybody was getting sick on it. So I can only just relate to that a little bit. I think they get some pretty serious waves out there.
The Atlantic is brutal. And I've done Morocco, I've done Portugal, and we did France last month as well. So I've surfed in a number of different, like, awesome spots. It's always the Atlantic. It's just absolutely brutal.
So I did remember my question. And that is, a lot of people I hear, I'll talk to people and they're like, oh yeah, I went and I took this life coaching, you know, course, and now I'm going to be a life coach. And, you know, I listened to your background, and this is what I always say to people is, and I just feel it, I want to know your opinion on it, but to be a really good life coach, don't you think that comes with the years of experience that you've had and building that business, and then, you know, those changes and the changes in the way you felt about it? I just always feel like people have to have some hands-on experience to be that really good life coach. Do you agree or do you disagree with that?
Oh, massively. 100% agree with that. And actually, one of my biggest pet hates is when you get these sort of 19, 20, 21 year old life coaches. And I say that with like bunny ears around it.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of, you're absolutely right. It's all down to experience. And I've got, you know, I'm less of a life coach, more of a business coach, but there's always some life elements which come into it, especially when you're talking about goals, because naturally there's always a crossover between business and personal. But I don't have any qualifications, so I'm totally unqualified as a business coach. However, I've got 17 years working with small businesses, grown one, sold one. You know, last year I helped 45, out of my 45 clients, I helped 30 of them to double their turnover in 6 months. And like for me, you know, I work with a lot of very like small businesses right up to large corporate businesses, but my smallest clients who are maybe earning sort of £1,000 a month, I've been at the coalface. I've started off businesses that are earning £1,000 a month, and I know what it takes to grow them. And a lot of my coaching kind of is based around laws of attraction and Napoleon Hill's Think and Grow Rich. Mm-hmm. So he talks about having a goal in mind, but especially for men and women of a certain age, so when they hit sort of sexual maturity and they've started to raise families, they're kind of quite settled, maybe not their lifelong home, but maybe like their penultimate home. And, you know, I'm at that point as well. And there's no way in hell that I could have been do what I do now with the confidence that I do it and get the results I do without having spent 17 years working in small business myself, like at the coal face and going through those ups and the downs, the struggles and the high points. Mm-hmm. And that's ultimately what gives me my credentials. And I do get people who challenge me on that. Oh, you don't have a coaching certificate. Well, I've got it as part of my my life journey, my learning journey is going to be next year. I'm going to be doing an NLP course because I feel the communication side of things will always help me and my clients. Mm-hmm. And also for me, it's about finding the right coaching company to go and get that accreditation with. And I know that my learning journey is never over. It should never be over for anybody.
Correct.
For me, it's about, I want to find the right coach that, business coaching qualification, which tallies up, because I'm not your typical business coach, and not that there's anything against them, but gray haired, suited and booted, come out of corporate, think I can help small businesses.
Right.
I'm this guy who goes surfing and cycling down hills at 52 miles an hour for fun, and generally just wants business to be fun for everybody. And so I do run my business in a t-shirt, and at the moment it's 32 degrees here, so shorts, but normally jeans. For me, like, everything has to be about fun first, get that back, and then we can look at the business and work out what gaps we've got to fill in.
That is great. So share with us then a couple of your greatest skill sets that have helped you in owning your own businesses.
So for me, like, I never stopped until the job was done. Like, tenacity and determination were two of my biggest skill sets. So, and I apply that to all elements of my life, not just business. So I take on crazy projects. Like, I'm building an outdoor home studio at the moment, and not just a small one. It's going to be a proper big one, fully insulated. You know, you can go out there in the middle of winter and it'll be perfect for doing some work and interviews and things like that, writing books. I've renovated a 250-year-old cottage. It used to be a cow shed and turned it into a house. So kind of just to give you an idea about, you know, and that took 4 years. So it's, and I don't stop until it's done. And if I can't do it, I learn how to do it. And I think that quest for learning, especially when it comes to my clients, because they come at me with some, you know, most businesses are the same to a point, but some come at me with some quite unusual challenges. So if I don't know the answer to it, I'll pick up a book, or I'll jump onto YouTube, or I'll go and find out. And I think that determination to find the answer is definitely my biggest asset.
Well, that's great. So let's talk about one of your most outstanding accomplishments, something that is super meaningful for you.
For me, I mean, my family, you know, having the girls is an obvious one. So I'm going to slide right by that. And actually, I'm one of the things I'm most proud of is I've released 4 books now. And Take Your Shot was probably one of the greatest achievements, because I don't know if you had a chance to read it, but it's basically a story about one of my early coaching clients. And I don't know why, but I had this really great ambition to not write a traditional business book, like how-to guide. I wanted to tell a story and like as a narrative, mm-hmm. so that people could really engage with the emotional journey that Russ, my client, was going through. Because he was actually in a very similar space to me not that long ago. He's got a young family who's trying to grow a business, and he was just coming up against all the usual challenges that all small business owners face. And I didn't really realize quite what I was doing, but it's amazing how many people come back to me and they were like, I was reading your book and it felt like I was reading a book about me. And to me, that's like a massive compliment, because I knew why I wanted to do it, but I didn't quite realize how powerful the end result would be. And most people who start reading the book don't actually put it down. They read it cover to cover in one sitting, and it's usually about an hour and a half to 2 hours. So, but again, and this is just me and my determination, but it was actually a real challenge to like tap back into the right side of my brain that really hasn't, I suppose as a coach, I'm quite creative, but I used to love writing stories when I was a child. And actually to go back to that place, I was like, gosh, it was just like so much fun, but having tangible results as well at the end of it is so satisfying.
Absolutely. And writing a book isn't easy. It's a difficult thing to do, I think. I always give people so much credit that have written books. I even did before, like I'll do book reviews and I'm like, there's got to be a nugget in here to do a book review on, because it is so hard for a person to sort of bare their soul and then do this, and so much time and so much concentration. But then after I did it, I just have even so much greater admiration for people who write a book and finish it. And so I have not read it, and I definitely, now I'm excited. I love reading more story type books.
It's on all, It's on audiobook as well. So if you can't, if anybody doesn't like reading necessarily, then they can grab the audiobook. But what's more fascinating, this might make you chuckle, is that both, so Online Business Startup, my first book, and then Take a Shot, they both coincided with my wife having a baby. So both my daughters.
Yeah.
So now we have a joke between us, like, you're not planning on writing a book, are you? And I'm like, you're not planning on having another baby, are you? And there are some similarities. I mean, obviously, I can't speak for the female population who've given birth, but there is a process which you go through, which is quite, you know, it's a similar length of time. It's about 8 or 9 months to go through the writing process. And then at the end of it, it's like, it is a little bit like, probably not as painful physically, but you give birth to this book and like, you're just waiting to see how your book fares in the world. It's a really fascinating process.
I could not agree more. I've used that same analogy, and being a mom, I can say that. But it is to the same things you said. It took me about 9 months exactly to complete that whole process. And then you're just so proud of this, right? You're like, it's just this, you're so joyful when it's there, and then you're anxious to see how it does. And so it's the exact same feeling. So I couldn't agree more. Great. Well, tell us about, what does working from your happy place mean to you?
For me, like, on a personal level, it's really about like, because actually, like, you're never born as a parent, you're never born as a business coach, you're never born with the skills to build houses and things like that. And actually having the opportunity, and I think, you know, when Poppy was first born, so she's my eldest, I actually took Wednesdays off to spend time with her and get to know her and kind of switch off from the business a bit. And and actually now with Sophie, like, I'm so grateful to my job to be able to give me the time with both the girls to spend with them and go on that learning journey with them. You know, and then on the professional side of it, I guess it's a similar process really, because I suppose in a way I'm coaching or teaching my two girls, but I love standing up and speaking and coaching in front of clients and inspiring them, and actually seeing those little light bulbs go off around the room as you're speaking. When people kind of get your concepts that you're kind of putting towards them, and seeing their perceptions change, and you know that you're changing lives in those moments. So, but it's funny actually, I hadn't actually tied the two up personally and professionally before, but actually there's quite a lot of similarity now between what I do with my job and what I do as a dad.
That's awesome. And I do think that we do, you know, and Zig Ziglar said this, and it's just so true, because the way that you are in one situation in your life is typically the way you'll be in most of your situations, the way you'll carry yourself, the way that you are. So I don't think that that's unusual, but I think it's interesting that you kind of just put that together. But so many people feel that they have to be different in those, and it really goes against the grain of who you are, and in operating at your absolute best. So some people will be real jerks in business, and then they'll say, well, I'm not like this in real life. Well, no, you know what? You probably are. So, and it's so true. And then the other holds true too. So.
Absolutely. I was just kind of going to add to that as well. Like, one of my personal goals is, because at the moment there's still a separation between business and personal life, and I suppose you need that to a certain extent, but I feel as though that's kind of based around like modern rules around work. You know, we have that since the Industrial Revolution, we've kind of had it drummed into us that we have to work 9 to 5. And it's actually very hard to, I see it in all my clients on a daily basis, like, even when they don't need to be working 8-9 hours a day, they still do it for the sake of doing it. And actually one of my goals is for both my clients and for myself is to actually kind of get to a point whereby there's no difference between the two. You can be productive with a business as well as getting everything out of life that you want to get out of it. For me, I actually feel as though that getting to that end goal is going to be a 5 or 10 year journey for me to try and work that problem out, because it's a big problem. But I, and you're undoing, like, you know, several generations worth of like having it drummed into you that you have to work 9 to 5. So wouldn't it be great if we could kind of marry the two up even more closely?
Well, I'm noticing this myself, and we have some younger people that work here in the office, and they just operate their best working, you know, I'll put in an 8-hour day. It might be through a 16-hour period of time, but I want to be able to do that. And it took me a little bit, and we've had to sort of do a little bit of play back and forth, because I'll say, well, okay, but I need to at least be able to know, like, when will you be available during that day, or what do you got going on if we have a question? And we're only working here in this office till 9 to 5. And so it took a little bit of back and forth, but I'm perfectly okay with that. If they want to take off 2 hours in the middle of the afternoon because they want to go work out or they want to go do something else and they're going to work from 8 to 10 at night, I mean, I don't care as long as the job and the projects get done. And that's sort of been a learning curve for me, but it's been a learning curve for them, is they just think, well, I'll just do that. And everybody should know, as long as I get my job done, it's okay. Well, it is, as long as I just know what, you know, are you going to be out? If you're going to take this morning off because you're doing something personal and you're going to work later in the evening, I just need to know that. So if I have questions or I need to know where we're at on a particular project, then I can get a hold of you. And so it's been a little bit of kind of back and forth, but now that we both have it figured out, it's like, oh, this, it's actually quite awesome. And it causes them to be more happy, you know, and I'm happy as long as the work gets done. So what do I really care if it's in this structured 9 to 5 time frame? So that's all very interesting. I mean, with what you said, and I think with the way that, you know, millennials, or if you want to label it that, you know, we're almost out of the millennial range of the next generation coming up. But you know what? It is so true. You have to work with people the way they want to work, and that you're going to get the best work from them. And I think that's, you know, I do some of my best creativity late at night. And it's not going to be first thing in the morning. I cannot work out first thing in the morning. And people say, oh, my God, how can you work out at 5 o'clock after the workday is over? I'm like, because it's exhilarating for me. And I've got a huge amount of energy. So I think for everybody, it's finding that, where do you operate your absolute best, and then being able to do that. I think that that's just really what it's all about.
And also, like, being self-aware enough to know that that also changes. So it might be okay to do 5 o'clock in the evening now, but in a year's time, when your life generally changes, you might find that you'll switch to the morning, and that's equally okay. And I think a lot of people kind of set quite often, they set unreasonable rules for themselves. It's funny, interesting what you're saying about sort of your team and the ultimately, like, the level of success now which they're producing. That it sounds to me, have you ever read The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People? Is it Stephen Covey, I think, wrote it?
Yes, absolutely.
And he did this really cool little video. It's on YouTube. It's called Green and Clean, where he basically is taught. It's a story which he tells about his son when he was trying to get his son to keep the yard clean, basically. So he looked at his neighbor's yard and there was no trash on it. And they had the sprinklers out and it was beautifully green. And he was trying to teach his son how to do that for his yard, to take some responsibility. And he says that ultimately the agreement is that you have to, in order to raise the level of initiative, you have to take on that responsibility. You have to take on the agreement and the responsibility that comes with that agreement to do it yourself. And it's just, I think the issue with millennials, they want too much stuff done for them. And actually, A, you don't learn through doing that. You learn, as you said earlier on in the conversation about, you learn through experience and doing it, and then finally taking ownership of it. And when you take ownership of it, that's like level 3 of initiative. And that's when you get the best results from it. Too many people just try and manage their teams and they crush their happiness. And I've got a real life example of this. One of my clients is an 8-figure law firm with about 130 members of staff. And their staff turnover rate was extraordinary. It's about 40%. They were losing like 40, 45 members of staff a year. And they asked me just to come in and do a bit of employee engagement, goal setting, and just to work on a pilot program with the team. So I whipped around everybody and I asked them sort of during the day, let's talk about your goals. And they all went round and they all knew their business goals. And I had Fiona's on one side and I had the support team, the admin team on the other. So they all knew their business goals. And then I said, actually, let's do this exercise again, but now I want you to tell me what your personal goals are. Now, the team I worked with, it was 11 females, one male. The chap was, the man was one of the partners and the other partner was obviously female. Before, 4 of the women broke down. Because I asked them about what that, and they said, 3 of them I took to one side during the break and I said, look, is everything okay? Obviously, I know you found that hard. And they said, nobody since we started in this business has asked us what our personal goals are. And you're like, and you know, you've got people who are in that business for 4 or 6 years on average before they leave, and nobody's asked them what they want. wow. out of their life. It absolutely blew me away. And one lady was so in a place of fear that she literally could not say, she couldn't read her personal goals out and just broke down. And the awesome thing that we got out of just that one group that I worked with, and that we're now implementing, rolling the pilot program out to all of the other teams. But the one thing which changed for her was they were about to push her through a disciplinary. And they realized at that point that because they didn't know what was going on in her personal life, they just put it down to a performance issue and that she'd lost, you know, was lost interest with the job. But ultimately, life just bit her on the ass, you know, to put right. it crudely. Broke up with a boyfriend, had to move out of the house, moved back to the parents. She smashed up her car in an accident after an argument with him. She was worried about what the impact this was going to have on her job, and she thought she was going to lose her job. And, you know, it just, you know, in life just spirals.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, as a result of that intervention, they stopped the disciplinary, they got occupational health involved, they organized some counseling for her, which the company paid for, and they totally changed, like, that woman's life. And, like, and this is just, you know, we sometimes, I think, as business owners, especially with staff, we kind of just give people the jobs and then we manage them. And if they don't live up to those expectations, it's like, it's your fault. And actually, it's our fault. It's 100% our own responsibility.
Wow. So what advice then would you give to others? That was a lot of advice right there for sure. But what advice would you give to those who are thinking about venturing out on their own, being entrepreneurs, starting their own business, any one of those things?
I think kind of upskilling yourself in terms of, like, from a learning perspective, like I for some reason, when I left or finished my university course, I stopped reading. So that was about a decade of my life, you know, where I stopped learning effectively. And I definitely think people should always continue to learn, take responsibility. Like, operating above the line is all about opportunity. It's about accountability and it's about responsibility and being self-aware around those three things. And I think if you can, alongside that, like, you know, there's so many things that people are afraid of, like afraid of what people are going to think of them and afraid of failure. They're afraid of success even. And all of these different fears start to crop up. And the reality is, and I'm focusing specifically on entrepreneurs and small business owners with this next statement, but it does apply to people outside of that sort of community. But operate, if you learn to operate at a fearless level. So fearless isn't about being reckless. It's about fearing those things in business ever so slightly less. Ultimately, unless you're like a doctor or a surgeon or something like that, nobody is going to die on your watch in business. Okay. So business is actually a very safe place and it's a very safe community. So just operate fearlessly. Just put yourself out there, be yourself, but take responsibility for stuff and, like, keep on learning and upskill yourself.
That's awesome. And what are some new and exciting things that you're working on that you think our listeners might benefit from? And then, of course, end with sharing how people can find you.
Yeah, of course. So at the moment, so my coaching program is actually called Fearless Business. And I've got a couple of books out there. Take Your Shot's got a couple of about five of my tools in there. But my Fearless coaching program, that's all going into a book at the moment. I'm about four chapters off of finishing that. So that'll hopefully be on Amazon in the next couple of months. So if anybody's kind of interested and wants to know a little bit more about that, then all of the information is going to be on my website, which is just robinwaite.com. That's W-A-I-T-E with an E on the end of it. Some people miss that off. I've also set up just a, because I've got a couple of offers, if that's okay, for your listeners. So if you go to robinwaite.com/happyplace, all one word, happy place, I'm actually offering a free copy of Take Your Shot to all of your listeners.
Oh, wonderful.
And the proviso that hopefully they might leave me a review, because for us poor ailing authors, I'm sure you understand, Belinda, like, reviews are like currency to us.
Yes.
So I'm looking for a few more reviews, especially in on Amazon.com as well, because that'll just help give Take Your Shot a little boost. And I'll find a couple of other goodies as well to pop on there.
Wonderful. And I hope that I have people telling me, I mean, if I had a review written for all of the many wonderful testimonials that I've had, and most of those are in person, you know, like, I'll see people at a conference and they'll say, oh my gosh, your book has completely changed my business. And then I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, go write up a review on that. But nobody does. And so my plea to everybody out there, for myself and yourself, is I know sometimes it takes like a few minutes. And I don't know, there might be like a little bit of insecurity level in there. Like it's written and it's in like, will I write it right? Is it good enough? But we just appreciate whatever, you know, good things or whatever kind of review that you have, because you really do need those book reviews. So I just want to encourage everybody, take advantage of the free gift. It sounds like it's an awesome book. I'm going to read it myself. And then I just want to encourage you to get out of your comfort zone a little bit and just go in there and write the review. And I promise you, I know that Robin will appreciate you doing that and whatever that is. So that's just going to be my plug.
Yeah. And obviously, to repay the favor, everybody go and make sure you review Belinda's book as well.
Thank you. So this has been so great. Thank you so much for your generosity of time. I appreciate it and all the great nuggets that you shared with our audience today.
It's an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for joining us at Work From Your Happy Place. If you like what you hear, please share it with your friends and be sure to rate and review us on iTunes or Stitcher. For a free gift on finding your own happy place, please visit workfromyourhappyplace.com and click on the free audio button. Thanks again for listening.